Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, we talk about why Jim and Patrick both have the quintessential song about the suburbs and why it's both the best and worst place in the world.
Bravo.
All right.
We can just replace that later.
I don't know.
We can always replace it later.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for the ice here for my bourbon.
Oh, absolutely. I had a lot of Guinness in the fridge. I'm trying to cut down on carbs.
And that does it for you?
So far. I bought a case, which probably wasn't the best idea.
So the doctor probably said, like, you got to cut down on your drinking overall. And you go, I'm just going to switch brands. That's right?
It's like spring training. I'm switching to Bud Light.
Yeah. All right. I'm Jim Lenihan, and over there is another guy.
I remain Patrick Foster.
And this show that you're listening to is called Rockin' the Suburbs. It is a new podcast, and we hope it is a long-lasting podcast.
Yeah, this is number 4 or 5 or 6 or 3.
Because I'm never leaving this basement. It is a glorious thing. We're at Patrick's house, and he's full of vinyl and CDs and my favorite, cassettes.
That's right. Plenty of those.
What we're going to talk about on this particular episode is suburban music. Right? In a way, right? So,
in a way, in our philosophy about how music has shaped our view of suburbia, right. I believe, yeah.
So, I grew up in a suburban setting in Ohio. And, you know, obviously, any place you grow up, it impacts sort of your worldview and, and your life and all of that kind of stuff. And we don't need to get into all those deep issues and therapeutic.
Right.
You know,
you were in the witness protection issues program, like which is stuff. Why but, you ended up there.
But, you know, I think, you know, rock music tends to have a certain feeling about the suburbs as, you know, and is a place that you don't necessarily want to stick around, right? That you want to escape, that you want to leave, that, you know, is a very sterile, conformist sort of environment, right? And that's sort of the history of pop music's view of the suburbs, right?
I think that's right. And also, you know, as, you know, yes, in a derogatory sense, but also in the sense of there is, for me anyway, you know, a sheltering aspect to the suburbs, right? So you've sort of escaped historically, right? If you go back to, I don't know, Levittown or you know, whatever it is, right? It was a refuge from the city where you could get away, you could have your little green space and you could have, you know, sort of quiet at night. And I think what that quiet leads to is contemplation. And, you know, that contemplation often leads to boredom, which often leads to trying to discover things. And then, therefore, you rebel against the suburbs. And so I think partly that's why people who get out of the suburbs tend to look back on them, you know, in a sort of a derogatory manner. But it also gives you a great time to, you know, to contemplate and study all these things before you actually try to leave the suburbs, right? You can sort of prepare yourself, you know, before you go away to college or university or whatever.
I mean, I think a lot of great artists have come from, you know, suburban settings or, you know, kind of small town settings.
Absolutely.
Probably the most, you know, sort of classic example of that would be Bob Dylan coming from, you know, small town Minnesota and then going to New York, right?
That's right.
And that's a, you know, or you think of like Springsteen, you know, coming from Asbury Park. All of New Jersey is essentially a suburb.
That's right.
But you have to go to New York to make it big, that kind of thing. But in the Springsteen example, he always looked back sort of lovingly upon the place he grew up.
And
to some extent, you know, he was also writing about escaping that place, but, you know, but still there was a tie there to, you know, recognize it was the place that, you know, shaped him, right?
Right. And I think that's the dichotomy, right? You're both attracted to, romanticized by, and repelled by the suburbs. And all that is wrapped up in how we feel about it.
Okay. So I am going to play here what I consider to be probably the quintessential suburban song. So, of course, that's Rush.
Of course, and you are wrong about that being the quintessential suburban song, but I'd love to hear why you think.
Are you arguing because you think you have?
Yeah, because mine's better.
Oh, yeah. All right. That's probably true, but here's the thing. I'm actually not a huge Rush fan, although growing up where I did in Northwest Ohio, for whatever reason, it just seemed like Rush was on the radio all the time.
Oh, they were here, too.
It was very...
They were in Virginia, they were, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like very Rust Belt kind of music. But but anyway...
Despite the fact that they're a Canadian, you're right.
That's right.
Yeah. Really did.
That's right. This is Subdivisions. It's from 1982 off of their album Signals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written... The lyrics are written by Neil Peart. He wrote most of the Rush lyrics.
Yeah.
And it's written about his experiences growing up in, you know, suburban on Toronto, mm-hmm. around, mm-hmm. you know, in Ontario, and the whole idea of like high school cliques and all that thing.
Right.
So it's the idea of like, you know, we think of subdivisions as being a description of sort of neighborhoods, mm-hmm. in the suburbs, but it's also the subdivisions of, you know, people and cliques in the high school. And then it's reflected, of course, in the line, be cool or be cast out.
There it is. Right. And best experienced, in your parents' old station wagon with wood on the side while drinking Seagram's Golden Wine coolers in the parking lot, or a cul-de-sac somewhere.
And I think of, you know, when I think of like be cool or be cast out, I think a lot of like Judge Reinhold's character in Fast Times, right?
Yeah.
The guy who just, you know, can't quite fit in despite how he tries.
Worker,
yeah. That's right. And I'm sure we've all had those experiences,
sure,
right?
Absolutely.
In high school.
Yeah. Well, and I will say the bass riff right before the first Subdivisions is an incredible bass riff. Like, that is unbelievable, right? Just the hook that somehow transitions that complex piece of, you know, rhythm down into that Subdivisions, mm-hmm. and then that whole chorus, it's a great piece of song construction. I mean those guys could put a song together.
And the other thing too, of course, Subdivisions in the shopping mall,
there it is.
What can we all relate to, yeah. growing up, you know, a suburban life, that revolved around the shopping mall,
mm-hmm.
those things are dying now, which is a funny thing.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid going to Southwick Mall and going to the arcade and going to the
absolutely.
Orange Julius,
yes.
and, you know, just hanging out with your friends at the mall,
exactly.
was such a huge experience.
Getting,
right?
a pretzel. It
That's
was incredible.
Right. Hot Sam.
That's right. Hot Sam pretzels, yeah. Two with mustard.
Go to Spencer's Gifts, and you felt a little bit, you know, grown up going there.
Get a
right?
blacklight poster, yeah.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah, that's right. So, we're going to take a short break.
Let's take a short break here. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about a little bit of the flip side of the experience, but in the same way, I think a song that really represents it for me.
So, Patrick, I just want to take a moment here to explain to our listeners, this is exposition here, what they can do to help out the podcast if they like it.
Why would they do that?
Well, hopefully they like Rock in the Suburbs. They want to keep it going.
Oh, they're nice people. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of the ways they can do that is by, listen to this, take notes at home if you need to,
mm-hmm.
subscribe to the show on iTunes.
That's easy.
You find Rock in the Suburbs on
yeah.
iTunes. You hit the little subscribe button.
Yep.
Either on your computer or your phone.
Super easy.
And then if you could just take a few moments, rate and review the show
yeah.
on iTunes. That helps us out because it makes the thing more visible to other people. And then they listen to it. And
that's right.
We grow.
Talk about our triceps.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what people should rate us on.
Oh, you said iTunes. I'm sorry. I thought you said something different.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I'm kind of off topic here, but go ahead and do that. And then if you're not an iTunes user, you can also follow the show on Audioboom. So that's
yep.
also something you can do. There's like a follow button on there. If you have an Android device,
right.
you can do that. And then
great
you
service.
Get updates on when we have new episodes,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty much all the time. So
mm-hmm.
just keep checking in. All
every
right?
day. Yeah.
So please do those things.
Perfect. So, Jim, to me, I wanted to talk a little bit about what I touched on kind of, you know, when we opened the pod today, in the sense that the suburbs offer contemplation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they offer preparation, like time for you to prepare. And so for me, you know, punk rock was a huge influence, but it was important to me because I didn't grow up in the city. I didn't really grow up around a scene of people that were into music. I didn't know a lot of people that were in bands. I sort of idolized from afar, right? I was kind of, in many ways, the classic, you know, studious, quiet person in the corner listening to music. And for me, you know, I listened to punk rock. I knew about punk rock kind of, you know, as early as I possibly could, but I learned about it in kind of a, you know, classical sense. I learned that The Clash existed. And the Ramones existed. Then Sex Pistols existed, you know. And then you would get a little more dangerous, right? You might learn about a few more edgier bands that, you know, that happened. But the big breakthrough thing for me was when I suddenly, it was like an incredible realization, understood that Washington, D.C., just 8 to 9 miles away from me, had this scene where people my age were playing in bands that people were going to see and that were, you know, important and making records. And I you know, it was incredible to me.
Well, here's the funny thing. When people think about that, like, spirit of 1977, mm-hmm. right, and that whole time when people said, like, oh, you don't have to be a big rock star, you can just go out and play. And you mentioned Ramones and The Clash and the Sex Pistols. Mm-hmm. I think to us, they still felt, to some extent, like rock stars, right?
Mean, yeah, we saw them, you know, on TV. They were on videos, and like they were huge. That's right,
and they were on
stars.
Major labels.
They were rich rock stars.
That's right.
Even though they were playing punk music.
So for us, it wasn't until you actually saw people you could relate to in your own community mm-hmm. playing, they go, oh, I can do this too.
And it only cost me $3 to, you know, go see this band. And then part of that was intimidating too, right? You know, the first time you went to one of those local shows, it wasn't like you had a ticket with a seat number on it where you could go and sit down. It was like, I got to find some place to stand here among all these people who look pretty cool, but seem really sullen. And, you
That's
know,
right.
I'm intimidated and they're looking at me like, where did this kid from the suburbs come
That's right.
from?
It's a little bit scary. You feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, you're dressed wrong.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, you're taking mental notes the whole time about what people are wearing and how they're standing and what they're doing and who they're talking to and, you know, where they are and all this stuff. And then, you know, you might even see members of the band standing there amongst the crowd before they even get up on stage and play. It was a total different thing.
Right.
And for me, you know, finally comprehending all that and getting ready to understand it and listening to this band, the one that I really thought, not only were they a local band that you'd go to see, right, they were there to touch and feel and interact with. I mean, you could go up and talk to these people, but they also played music for me that was as good as, you know, the stuff that I thought was punk rock, like as good as The Clash and, you know, that good, right? Like they actually were making music that you would go home and listen to and really love. You know, it wasn't just because they were from your town that you were into them. And the band is Rites of Spring, and this is off their one and only long-playing album, and the song is called Theme. And some of those lyrics, you know, man. hope. It's just another rope to hang myself with. Mm-hmm. And that goes, speaks to that suburban experience. You know, maybe some people, like you said, you know, you're subdivided, you don't follow, you're not going to go anywhere. And you, there are those people that get left by the wayside.
I think, you know, the first wave of punk, you know, which came from mostly like London and New York, was like big city urban sort of stuff. But that next wave, a lot of it was suburban kids, because they had, you know, they had this feeling of like isolation, mm-hmm. and, you know, they, this, the feeling of conformity and all that kind of stuff that they were trying to fight against. And if you think of like the DC suburbs, if you think of Orange County, you know, even, even in Ohio where I grew up, you had bands like the Meat Men and stuff like that, that, you know, it came out of Maumee, Ohio, of all places, right? You know, this whole idea of like, mm-hmm. we got to rise up and like fight against this idea of like that we're just going to become, you know, accountants or whatever it might be, right?
And Scream is a great example. It came from Arlington, right? They weren't originally part of the DC scene, but your point is very well made. It, yeah, originally urban, it was from the city, yet you consumed it in the suburbs, and those are the people mm-hmm. that it ignited, and maybe you learned about it there, and maybe you eventually did move to the city and make a band, but that's where it happened.
Suburbs also had a lot of great garages where you could where you totally could start out, right?
And that was the, you know, and I'm glad you said that, because that was the possibility for me, right? That there was a band locally that could do that, and you could do that too, mm-hmm. as long as you bought a guitar and maybe even bought it at the music store, you know, in the strip mall, but you had a guitar and you could get together with your friends and actually make something in your garage. And look, those guys just did it. It's just that they live in a slightly different place, and, you know, we can do it too.
All right. So I hope that we have touched a nerve with the listeners, right? That they understand like where we're coming from.
We'd love to hear what songs.
We're just a couple of white suburban punks.
That's right. What songs for you guys listening, dear listener, represent suburbia for you? That would be that's a show.
I would love to hear that.
We'll just read 15 tweets. Because
We will make a show around your feedback. Absolutely. Or more than one. So
absolutely. Please tell us.
Here's how you can do that. You can email us at suburbspod@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us at suburbspod. Find us on Facebook. Same thing, suburbspod. Or this is the best thing, because you get your voice on the show. You can call the RTS hotline. It is 612-440-1984.
And please leave us your audition tapes on the line.
That's right. So you can find Rock in the Suburbs on iTunes or Audio Boom, and you should listen to it
every day.
Every day. That is Dr. Patrick's prescription. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you later.